God is good. And all the time. Amen. Our God is good and He's faithful. He's loving, He's caring, He's mighty, He's powerful. I'm happy to see Edvige over there. I know she didn't want anyone to know she's there. We thank God, you know, for you coming, and we praise God for your life. Okay. I just want to thank you, Grace, you know, for allowing me to preach today. You were meant to preach. And you gave me your slot, and I just want to thank you for that. And I think that's what it means to be a team, a body, you know, because it's not about us. It's about what the Lord is doing. So I might have my slot to preach, and I see that someone else, maybe God wants to do something, carry on with something through them, and I tell them, take it, you know, carry on, because it's not about me. It's about, you know, the Lord, the body of Christ, and what God is doing. And thank you very much. And thank you for the contribution that you made. It was very powerful. You know, that unity. And I always like to read this, Pastor Rob, because it's very important. That together you may, with united heart and one voice, praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without unity, without oneness, it's really impossible as a church to serve God and be successful. We need to be one. We need to be united. And it means that we need to be there for one another. That's why it says the body of Christ. The body of Christ, it doesn't say the feet of Christ or, you know, the head of Christ. It says the body. Because we are different members, and each member has a function. You know, you might think that you're not important, but we are all important. It doesn't matter. Someone will say, oh, the preacher is more important. Oh, no. The preacher is as important as the person who sweeps this floor. Because we are all together, doing the work together in order for the church, you know, to move forward, the gospel to move forward, the word of God to move forward. And that's why we all need to come together and do what God has called us to do. Because otherwise, if it's only the heart that is, you know, busy doing something on only the leg, guess what? It's not really going to work. But we need every part, the eyes from your head to your toe. You need every single part of your body to function normal, right? Yeah. That was in my message, but I think that the Holy Spirit did it. Get started, and I think it's very important. Like she was saying, we need to encourage each other. Sometimes you find people who are overwhelmed, going through stuff. And why am I your brother, your sister? The same way we function, like in the normal home, right? When you see your siblings, like, going through something, you're trying, like, oh, they need to be comforted. Oh, they need this, they need that. It's the same way we are the body of Christ. We are one family in God. So we have to look after each other. Is very, very important, honestly. You know, when you read Acts of Apostles and you see how they used to live, they live like one family. They shared everything together, you know, sold their possession and ensured that those who were lacking would not lack. Those who had will, you know, give and fill in the need for those who didn't. And unfortunately, today we become selfish. That's the world in which we live. And it's even translated in the church to some extent. It's about me, me, me. What about my brother? What about my sister? Am I sure they are okay? Are they going through something? Am I checking on someone? I didn't see them on Sunday. Did I check on them? What's going on? They might not be here on Sunday because they are poorly and they need someone to call them and say, oh, I didn't see you on Sunday. Are you okay? And, you know, if they are not okay, you pray with them, you encourage them. Amen? Very important. And as I said, I believe that the Lord is doing a new work here. The Lord is doing a new work in each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is moving. I don't know, maybe you've not noticed, but I have. And there is much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, I can sense a shift in the realm of the Spirit, a huge shift that not just here in the body of Christ entirely, that if we will position ourselves, really position ourselves, we'll see the move of God in a mighty way. You know, God is ready and he's always been ready. We, his people, are the ones who are not ready. And we are praying for revival. We are praying for God. We need your move. We need to see you. You know what? Let's position ourselves. When we position ourselves individually, we will see his move in our lives. And together as a church, we see his move in our church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we just worship you and adore you. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our salvation, Lord. Father, we thank you for choosing us. We thank you for the privilege to know you, to serve you. Father, we thank you that we can sit like this, Lord, and come together from different nations, different cultures, and just be one in Christ and worship you. Father, we thank you. We just give you the praise. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. We ask you, Lord, to take over. Abide any spirit of distraction. Abide any demonic activities to steal the word of God out of the people or just take their focus away. Lord, I pray for focus. I pray, Father, that let our mind be open. Let our heart be open and receptive, Father, to receive what you have for us, Lord. Father, it's not a person. It's about you and your word coming forth, Father God, to transform our life, to speak to us, to meet us at the points of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, there's just a lot there to cover. And I'll just go as, you know, led by the Holy Spirit. Honestly, there's just a lot there to cover. And I just want to go as I'm led by the Holy Spirit, the few that I've written down. But what I want to do today, that the Lord impressed upon my heart, because last week when I was preaching, I came with that bottle of anointing oil. And I was like, I was meant to pray. And, you know, just anoint whoever wanted. So it's not a must, whoever desired. And I didn't do it. And then I went back home. I'm like, Lord, I didn't do it. And I was like, and then I just said, okay, I'll speak to Pastor Rod, because I felt in my spirit like, there is something else to do. So I sent a message to Pastor Rob, and, you know, and then later on, Grace just said, oh, let her do it. And then I'm like, okay, fine. And, you know, last week, and I always say, I say things, I don't want to impress people. That's, when I say things to people, most of the time is that I like motivating people, inspiring people. So last week, I was still on my fast. I said it was 11 days, but it was actually 10 days without food. So I was meant to break that fast on Sunday, and the Holy Spirit said to me, no. You're not breaking the fast. I was like, why? He said, carry on, because there are other things that you're meant to do. So I carried on, and I was praying, and there's just a lot that happened, so many people that I need to pray for. But he said, you have to come back here and finish off with what I wanted you to do. So I had to carry on with the fast, and yeah, up till date, I've not eaten. But what I want to say is that, don't copy me, please. If the Holy Spirit doesn't instruct you, don't do it. Okay? So don't do it. What I want to say is that, throughout this time, the Lord has led me to pray for the church, to pray for the people here, to intercede and pray. And I think God's desire, I wouldn't say my desire, God's desire is to see a people who are broken. God's desire is to see a people who are hungry for him, a people who desire him more than every other thing. And the Holy Spirit wants us to have that shift, you know, in our mind to understand that he can use anyone, as long as you are available. Anyone. You know, with God, I wanted to say there is no respecter of person. Whoever set themselves apart, he's going to use that person. He's going to use that person. Grace said something that we are the salt. We are the light. You know what? Do you want your salt to become, do I say saltier? Or your light to shine brighter? Set yourself apart. Seek God. You know, the more you seek God, the more we walk with him. Do you know what? Our light becomes brighter. People can see and see and see. Hallelujah. Okay. Where am I? So we're just going to go into the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at the gift. I was talking about the fact that all of us need to serve. I want to look at the gift. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Okay. Oh, no, no Galatians. So, verse 7, spiritual gift. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. He said, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, below there is talking about the fivefold ministry. We are not all involved in the fivefold ministry. So I will talk a little bit about that and then focus on the gift that we have, that we can all use in this church to see that the work of God move forward. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heaven, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave to some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, it says he gave gift. You know, this gift, they call them leadership gift. So you have apostle, what's the second one? Prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. So the other doesn't mean that some gifts are more important than others, okay? Because some people will say, oh, apostles are more important, pastors. No, no, they are not. Apostles, I just, those who are called like to, they plant churches, you know, they pioneer new work and then raise people, leaders, in order to carry on with the work. When you read Acts of Apostles or you read the epistle, you see the work that Apostle Paul did. He was one of the apostles. Like, we know that he really like pioneered new work for Christ and, you know, set up leaders in order to follow up. So we still have apostles today, because I remember there was an argument that, oh, you don't have apostles, all these people calling themselves apostles. We still have, although there are some people who just take the title, it doesn't matter, but it doesn't mean that we don't have apostles. We have true apostles. We have people who are recalled as apostles. We'll go around and then establish new work for the glory of God. And then we have prophets. Prophets are called to tell God truth. They receive the truth from God. And they tell it a word from God to inspire the people, to correct the people, to motivate the people. We still have prophets today. Real prophet, I mean. Not everyone going there calling themselves prophet because, you know, they want to say something interesting to someone. We still have true prophet. Now we have pastors. Pastors are called like to guard the sheep, the flock, guide them, and why they are serving. So a pastor will be overseeing a church, guarding the flock, and guiding them at the same time, looking after them why they are serving God. Now you have evangelists. Evangelists are those who go out there. They are more into, you know, reaching out the lost for Christ. And some of them will train other people so they too can learn, you know, go out, reach out the lost for Christ. You have teachers. Teachers are those who are equipped with the word, who teach, I mean, sound doctrine to equip, you know, the church. When I say church, I don't mean the building. I mean the body, so they can grow. Now, not everyone is a pastor. Not everyone is an apostle. Not everyone, but we all have different calling. Now, this fivefold ministry, as I just read, is to equip the church. Is to teach us. Is to give us what we need in order to grow. It says that in order for us to be, I like Grace talked about unity, to come to unity of faith. You know, coming together in that understanding of Christ, the knowledge of who Christ is. You know, maturing in who we are. It means getting that transformation that we get into the image of who Christ is. And this is very important. It says, so that we are not tossed by every wind of doctrine. Because when you have all of these gifts in a church manifesting, guess what? The people grow stronger. They grow in the knowledge of the word. They can be matured because there is a lot out there, all sorts of wind of doctrine. If you don't have a sound doctrine, if you don't stand, if you don't get matured, guess what? Anything you hear, you fall for it. And that's what many people do today. They fall for anything because they don't know the truth. Amen? Now, I want to focus on all the gifts that I would say is much more popular in the church. Okay, let's just go to Romans chapter 12. Now, before I read this, I just want to mention something about teaching the word. You know, if you are given the responsibility to come here and stand and teach the word, let us not take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Because when you stand here and you teach the word, if you're teaching something that is wrong, there are people who are taking it in. Right? They are taking it in. They don't know better, so what you are saying to them, they are receiving it. So it's very important that when we are given that responsibility to stand here and teach the word, let's take time to study the word. Let's take time to prepare, like Pastor Rhodes was saying. It takes time. You have to do research. You have to read. And more, so you need to spend time in the presence of God. You know what? And be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you can just say this word without the Spirit of God quickening that word. People might listen and it doesn't even do anything in them, okay? I just wanted to mention that we start from somewhere. When Pastor Rob gave us opportunity to stand here and share the word, it's because he wants us to grow, right? It's because he wants to train, you know, that gift. He wants us to grow that gift that he has seen in us. So we also need to make that effort so we can study and then we can be a blessing. Amen. So let's go to, as from verse 3. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then give differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I want to insist that God gave us gift, different gift. We have this gift according to the grace that was given to us. I have the grace to stand here and preach. I do not have the grace that Steppy have to manage things and organize things. If you ask me to do it, I'll be lost. And I don't want to try to do it because I've not been given grace to do that. Pastor Rob has his grace. He can just preach to anyone and just, you know, I've not been given that grace. I'll do it, but I don't want to do it like Pastor Rob because I don't have his grace. The problem in the body of Christ is that we see other people have gift and we just want that gift. Oh, I want to preach like that person. You've not been given that grace. You can't do it. I want to serve like that person. No, you've not been given that grace. Ask God, what's the grace that you've given me, Lord? Because he has given you a gift and he has given you the grace to do what? To do it. Okay, amen. Because I've seen in many churches, you see someone doing something and you want to do it and you try and you get frustrated because you haven't got that grace. So he says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy here doesn't mean, you know, like telling the future. Prophecy here is God giving you insight of something that is happening in the church, right? So then you can say it in order to bring correction, but say it in love. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I said I was 12 years old. It was Assemblies of God. And you know, it was about, oh my God, holiness, holiness, holiness. Something that we've forgotten today. You know, when we come to pray, this gift was manifesting, and you know, people took it serious. When we came together sometime like that to pray, and I remember once, you know, like we gather and we start to pray, and I was just 12, and God gave me a word like that about someone living in sin and something they were doing. I was like, and he says, say it. You know, you're 12, you just say things, and I just said it. And you know what happened? The person was convicted and they started crying and they confessed their sin, you know, to God. So this is what it is, that the Lord can give you insight of something that is happening. And again, I say it in love. You know, you can go to that person and say, this is what the Lord showed me. I'm not saying it to you in condemnation. I'm saying it to you because God loves you, and that's the reason why he said this to me, because he wants you to change and, you know, get back on track. Can we pray together about this? And another thing is that the person to whom this is being said, you know what, sometimes we get on a high horse. It's like, who do you think you are? You know, my life doesn't concern you. But the truth is that if we are family, your life concerns me, my life concerns you, right? The Bible says that you are your brother's keeper. I am your keeper. So which means that if something is going on in your life, it concerns me. You know what it says in the book of, I think, Ezekiel? It says, if I say to the sinner, to tell that sinner that you will die and you don't tell them. It says, if they die, what happened? Their blood is on your head. So I would rather come and say to you, if you get upset, that's fine, but I've done my bit. And you know what? The responsibility now lies on you. So he says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry. Ministry is just the gift of service. So you have people who just see need and they serve the need. And there are lots of needs in the church. You know, you see a need and you serve that need. And so he says, in our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. I wrote it here, so it's much more better. Okay. Right. Gift of service or ministry. You serve others by meeting their needs. And the gift of teaching. There are people who have that gift. You know, teaching all the, making the scripture more clearer to those people. And we all have one of those needs. I just want to emphasize on this, and I just believe that the Lord is saying that it's time for us to rise up as a church and use the gift that we have, because we have this gift. Amen? It's a gift of giving, to give generously, share what you have with others. Gift of leadership, to govern and oversee others so that the group can move forward. Gift of mercy, to empathize with others. Now, this is just some of the gift. You can be here. You know how to sing. You have a lovely voice. There is a choir there. Two people. Edvish has been poorly, so we have just two people here. But there are many people here. Even if you don't know how to sing and you feel that the Lord has called me to sing, it's not even about your voice, right? You join and you sing. Cleaning, kitchen, after church. We cannot be in a church. We've been here. Sorry, am I touching you? You've been here for 10 years. You're not doing anything. You just come, you sit, and then other people minister their gift to you, and then you go back home. No. We are parents. Yeah, we have children. Your child is 10 years old. What do you say to them? No, you can't just go on like this. You must do something. You know, you've grown. When you were little, okay, that was fine. Now you are 10. Now you are 15. You have to clean up. You know, you have to do something. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Enough of coming and just sitting down and just waiting. There is something that you can do. There is something that we all can do. And you know, there are people who used to ask me, Ella, you know what? What's my calling? I say, you know, I didn't know my calling after like 10 years that I've been in the Lord, but I was serving everywhere. Every need. I will tell you, I did everything. I sang choir, I was there. Teaching Sunday school in Cameroon is adult. You know, like teaching before the service, I was there. They say what? Moderation, I was there. Interpreting the preacher who is preaching from English to French, I was there. I did everything. And while I was doing this thing, gradually, I was seeing like, oh, I'm drawn to this than this. I'm drawn to this, like, I'm drawn to this. And then finally, I understood that, oh, this is it. This is it. And then I started now, you know what, equipping myself in that particular area. You can start by just teaching the children. You don't need to know all the Bible. We don't. The little that we know. I know Steppy used to give us guidance here. Teach the children. You are putting something in them. I'm telling you, just that cup of tea that after the service, someone takes that cup of tea and gives it to you. Guess what? It makes you happy. I'm not saying a lie. It makes you happy after the service. But you need someone to do that. Now, I want to touch on one thing that we need to serve effectively, the Holy Spirit. We cannot walk with God without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and many people can relate to God the Father, God the Son. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, few people really relate to the Holy Spirit. We always think that the Holy Spirit, you know, is, when we say spirit, it's kind of creepy. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. We talk about Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is a person. You know, when you read Ephesians 4 here, it says somewhere that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's only someone who has feeling that can be grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by our actions. We grieve the Holy Spirit by the things that we do. You know, we all make mistakes, right? But when we are stuck in doing the same thing that the Lord has pointed out to us that is wrong, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. It's like a parent. Your child can do something that is wrong. It's fine. You correct them. That's wrong. But if they keep doing and they keep doing and they keep doing, you think, no, come on. You know what you're doing. And they grieve us. That's the same way that we grieve the Holy Spirit, by doing the same thing, the wrongdoing. We'll hear the Holy Spirit convicting us, Ella, that's wrong. And you think, oh yeah, it's wrong, but I find pleasure in doing that. So we carry on. He can be grieved. Amen? Now, I just want us to read Exodus chapter 31. Yeah, Exodus chapter 31. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I've called by name Bezalel. I don't know if I pronounce it well. He says, see, I've called by name, no, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I fill him with the Holy Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic work, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewel, for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. This is someone who is just doing craft work. But the Bible says that God said that was when they were meant to build the tabernacle. The Bible says that God said to Moses, he said that I have called him by name. He says what? I have filled him with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And he's the first man in the Bible that you hear that is filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. That he was filled with the Holy Spirit not to come and stand and preach. He was filled with the Holy Spirit to do just any kind of work. So if you tell me that, Ella, you are the only one who need, you know, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, because you stand there and preach, I say it's a lie. This is someone just doing, you know, normal work, like I would say teaching or anything, care, whatever you're doing. He needed the Holy Spirit to be able to do it. Now, I want us to go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. You know, when they grew to a great number, and so in the sharing of food, you have the Jewish widow and the Greek widow. There was some argument there. So Peter said, no, in fact, we need to choose some people. We will not give ourselves to this. There are other things that we need to do, the word and prayer. So this is what he said. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And what do they do? For whom we may appoint this business. And the business was sharing food. So just for sharing food, imagine. It could be like just for serving tea there. He says, 7 men of good reputation, which means even your reputation is very important. How we live is very important. You know, good reputation. So, filled with the Holy Spirit. Just to serve food. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. We all need the anointing. You know, before Jesus left, he told his disciple, he said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. Why? Another comforter, someone just like me, who will be with you forever. When Jesus rose from the dead in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Bible says that he breathed on his disciple. Guess what? Before then, they were not born again Christian. When he rose up from the dead, or he died and resurrected, he blew on them and his breath on them. They received the Holy Spirit and they became born again Christian. So if you have given your life to Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. You are a born-again Christian. He lives in you. Now, the Spirit of God upon you is different. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, same Jesus, after he's been with his disciple for 40 days before he left, he said, tarry, just wait. Don't go out yet and do the work. Wait. And he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. and you shall be witnesses unto me. You will be endowed with power. That power is for service, to enable you to do the things that, you know what, otherwise you won't be able to do on your own. And Acts chapter 2 tells us that on the day of Pentecost, guess what? The Holy Spirit came. He came. And one of the ways that they knew that they had received the Holy Spirit was by one of the ways they knew was by speaking in tongues. I know some Christians will be like, oh, that thing of speaking in tongues is not my thing. I don't like it. You know what? It's in the Bible. We can't choose what we like from what we don't like. If you don't want the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's fine. You die and still go to heaven. But there are things that you're going to miss out while you are on earth. Sometimes might not be as effective as you should be in certain things that you're doing. The evidence was praying in tongues. And you know, and there are people who say, I don't like praying in tongues. That praying in tongues, you speak a language that you don't understand. It's true you don't understand, but you're not speaking to yourself, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, Apostle Paul tells us there, he's talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, because the Corinthian Christians were like, ooh, they were showing off with it, you know, like for them it was like, you're very spiritual when you're speaking in tongues. I think they just went and meeting each other. Apostle, this is madness. Some other, you know, they were, it was because they were excited. You know, all of the sudden you're speaking the language that it tells you that when you're speaking in tongues, you're communicating with God. Wow. Ella, I'm communicating directly with God. Woo, this is interesting. But the Bible says that he will speak in tongues. Do not speak to themselves. You speak to God. And you speak in mysteries. Imagine, mysteries. And the gift is available. It's a gift. We do not deserve it. It's a gift. Anyone can receive it. And even when we receive the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over. In the Bible, it says when the disciples prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a constant thing. Being filled. We are going to pray, but I just want to end with this. Something that happened last night. When the Lord told me to pray for a family, they're kind of like baptized, yeah? And the Lord said I should pray for them. And I didn't actually know what I was meant to pray for, but it was on video call, WhatsApp, the entire family, father, mother, and 4 kids. So the Lord just said, prepare something on the Holy Spirit. I did. And I started telling them about the Holy Spirit. The parents, they knew because they were from Africa. But the children grew up there. And going to a Baptist church, sound doctrine they teach there, but not much of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as such. So I went through it with them. They were asking questions. I answered the question. And I just said, okay, we're going to pray. And if you're open, this desire is a gift. And we started praying. Boy, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was concentrating, praying. I was praying on my own. And when we finished, I was like, what happened? They were crying. They were like, everyone was just emotional, like, and one of them said, they called me Auntie, you know what happened? When I was praying in tongues, and I just started crying, and I just felt like I was praying for my brother. And same time, the brother said, yeah, when she started crying, I started crying as well. And immediately, it dawned to me that I was angry with God. I had resentment because I've graduated now for 2 years. I'm working with God, and I don't have a job. And I'm doing all what he asked me to do. And I was really, really angry, but I didn't know that I was angry. And he said, and I started confessing and asking God to forgive me. And I told them, that's what it is when you pray in tongues. I said, you see, you were praying in tongues. You didn't know what you were praying for, mystery. But you were interceding for your brother, for something that you had no clue about. And that's what happened. So if we understand the power that is in that, that if as a church, imagine one person speaking mystery to God, and all of us, we come now and we start speaking mystery. Ah, the devil will be in trouble. Because that's a prayer that he can't intercept, right, Steppy? When I speak in English, he understands me. But when I pray in tongues, he has no clue of what I'm saying. I'm speaking directly to my Father. And at the same time, my Father is downloading mystery to my spirit. You know what? Because no one knows the mind of the Father except the Spirit of God. And at the same time, the Spirit of God, who knows the mind of God, communicates through my spirit. So he's taking what is in the mind of God, downloading it in my spirit. And I begin to pray, and I begin to pray in tongues. And then now I'm receiving like, oh, Ella, pray for Olivia. Oh, I wasn't thinking of praying for Olivia. But when I'm praying in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit is downloading on my spirit, like, you need to intercede for this person. You need to. This is what is going on. You know, you have more clarity. Amen. So I don't know about you, but the Lord asked me to pray. Just pray. Baptism of the Holy Spirit for those who haven't received, those who want to be filled, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Those, any need that you have, I'm going to pray. Consecration, maybe you're struggling with a sin, because there are some sin that as a result of habit, but there are some sin that are demonic. That when they bind and cast the demon out of your life, you are set free. And all of the sudden, something that you were doing, you have no desire to do it. Some also are habit that you know what, you repent and then, you know, gradually you get away from it. So I just want us to pray. If you don't mind, stand on your feet. If you think that you have something that you want God to do for you, something you've been praying for,